This is a podcast for the MA in Online Journalism by Distance Learning at Birmingham City University.
In this podcast, I'm going to talk about some of the problems that online publishing raises for issues of defamation, contempt of court, and the multiple publication rule. And these all come down to a particular quality of online publishing, which is that it is always accessible. Now, traditionally in publishing, you had what was known as the one-year rule or the three-year rule in Scotland, which is that about a year or 3 years after publication, a particular individual couldn't sue you for defamation on the basis that too much time had elapsed since the original publication. Now, the problem with online publishing is that, obviously, today's news is not tomorrow's fish and chip paper, it's tomorrow's long tail of searches, and a particular article can be online and available for years. And as far as the law is concerned, every time that someone accesses that content, each time they access it is considered a new form of publication. So it is published every time that someone accesses that content. And so effectively, you never get out of the woods in terms of your liability for potentially defamatory content or even content that could be in contempt of court. And the Times newspaper found this in one particular instance where they wrote a piece about a particular policeman who'd been accused of corruption, and they successfully defended their case in court on the basis that they had undertaken responsible journalism in pursuing the case. But they lost a second part of a case relating to the online publication of that article, because after that policeman was found innocent, they did not update their archives to reflect the new facts. And as a result, they had to pay damages because of the online version of the article, which had not been updated. Now, obviously, they couldn't update the print version, but they should have updated the online version. And with online publishing generally, archives are an area to be cautious of, not necessarily so cautious that you remove articles after a particular period of time, because archives play a hugely important role in search engine optimization, in bringing traffic into your site, in building a reputation, and of course the civic responsibility, if you like, to maintain a record, a public record of issues that are of a public interest. But what you must consider is if the facts change, you need to do something about archives that might not reflect the new facts. With contempt of court, this becomes particularly idiosyncratic. There's a really odd situation with contempt of court, which is that, just to give some background on contempt of court, this is the idea that you should not publish information about a person who is going through a trial, because there is a danger that you will influence the jurors and their decision in that trial. Now, normally you are restricted from publishing any news while that person is going through the trial, but you may have archive stories about crimes that that person has previously committed, for example. Now, the general guidance on this is that you don't have to remove those from your archives. However, you should not attract new attention to those old stories. So if, for example, you have someone who is on trial for murder and he has previously murdered three other people, you would cover that trial, as you would normally do, without influencing the jurors, but you should not draw attention to the previous reports. You shouldn't link to other stories about this person, which include his previous convictions, for example. So that's an example of how this kind of continuous publication influences court reporting. Another issue is the general management of risk around defamation. And I'm going to talk more broadly here about legal processes in publishing. Strictly speaking, there are many things which are published in news outlets every day which may be considered defamatory or even in contempt of court. What happens within a news organisation is not necessarily always judgments about whether it is legal or illegal to publish this material, but whether the risk of doing so, what the risk is that someone is going to sue. And for online journalists, that these risks have both pros and cons. So, for example, one of the things that might lead a person to sue you for defamation or for libel is if you have a lot of money and they think that you are going to have to pay up to settle this case, regardless of the legal merits. Now, if you're working for a big media organisation, the risk of that happening is high. But if you're a lone blogger, then the risk is much lower. And so you can sometimes avoid those mercenary legal cases. However, on the flip side, if someone just wants to shut you up, basically, then they are more likely to sue you if you are a lone blogger, because, or rather, they're more likely to threaten legal action on the basis that you cannot afford to defend yourself and that you may pull the material. So you need to weigh up these risks as you're dealing with potentially defamatory or libelous material. Now, there's one of the defences for libel is the idea of fair comment, which was recently, about a year ago, renamed honest comment. And this is the idea that you are expressing an opinion based on, and it's an honest opinion rather than a malicious opinion, based on the true facts that were available to you at that particular time. Now, in December 2010, a judge ruled on a particular case and made particular reference to the proliferation of opinions on the internet and how the law had to adapt to that and basically had to be a bit more flexible in terms of acknowledging that we had to allow people to have an honest opinion, even if they didn't have access to all of the facts that that were related to that particular opinion. This introduces a lot more flexibility into what you can publish, particularly if you're looking at things like restaurant reviews or any kind of reviews of services. You're interviewing people about what they think about something. It introduces a bit more flexibility, but generally you can still get into some danger with comment and with reviews, and you can get people who are very offended by reviews which they feel might be particularly malicious. Now, obviously, in this podcast, I haven't got the time or even the medium to go into the right amount of detail on this, but there are, as I say, many resources on various aspects of law, contempt of court, defamation, and it's worth reading up on those or rereading those if you haven't already. The chapter in my online journalism handbook on law and online journalism goes into a bit more depth on the defences for defamation as well, the most obvious being that you have factual evidence of what you are saying. And again, I would recommend reading that chapter in some depth to follow up on these points. In the next podcast, I'm going to be a bit more constructive and look at some of the laws that you can use as a journalist to gain access to information and be more proactive in using the law for you rather than being defensive in defending yourself against others.